Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have Seth Habegger with us.
Good morning, everyone.
Happy November 23rd, everybody. Hope you're having a good one. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Is that a thing?
Is
that
It is now.
It is now. Yeah. I knew you were going to say it. Because it's kind of like a Friday.
It kind of is.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
We got fun stuff lined up for you throughout the show today. We're going to kick things off in this hour. We're getting into our National Day of Calendar. A little bit later, we got some other fun things. We got tons of Thanksgiving conversation to have. A bunch of different studies and surveys we'll get into. Looking forward to diving into those. Getting our hands dirty with some of that. And then at 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little later, we'll have our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Yeah.
And in the 9 o'clock hour, good stories, that ain't right stories, getting some entertainment news, let you know what's new on your small screen and big screen this weekend. Go through all of that. And, of course, we'll have other, we're going to let you know what's going on in our station here tomorrow. I want to get into some of that. Before we dive into it, though, Melissa, how you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, good.
It's morning.
It's morning, yes.
I'm awake.
Do you consider yourself a morning person?
Nope.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Seth, how about you? Do you consider yourself a morning person?
No, not really. I faked it for a long time, but yeah.
It's surprisingly better now. I mean, I think a consistent bedtime and a consistent morning wake up has really helped me.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
But it's actually not hard to get out of bed at 2:45 or 3 in the morning, believe it or not. I don't know why.
But when you're doing it right, when you've got a good routine, it sure helps.
Yeah. It should help. Yeah, right.
Right on. How are you doing this morning, Seth?
I'm doing fine. I'm just getting ready for Thanksgiving here and hoping everything goes well, for everybody.
I imagine. That's certainly a concern when you're walking into the holiday and everything.
Yeah,
you
want to
make sure of those things.
Indeed.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing good. I'm not.
Uh-oh.
I'm not doing good this morning. No. And we always start this show on a positive, and we're always in a good mood and everything. I can't help it. Not today. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but we had some breaking news breakthrough last night to us that Pam shout out to us that from our engineer, Chuck. Now, for those that don't know, Chuck Gennaro, of course, you know, has been a part of this station his whole life.
Right.
Used to be our head engineer. He still is, but he's also our general manager now.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited about that. It's a lot of fun. Except for people like me, because just to let everybody know what I'm talking about here, we got something new that we're going to be starting on the weekends. We are going to air the Sunshine Polka Show, Tim's greatest show of all time, the greatest show there is, the Sunshine Polka Show. We're going to air it on 7 in the morning and at noon. Mm-hmm. Now, a weekend like we have coming up this weekend where we have the Badger game, their final regular season game of the season on Wisconsin, that game is going to be at 12:30. They're hosting Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great game.
Yeah.
On days like that, we're just going to have the Sunshine Polka Show on at 7 because, of course, the Badgers are going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
But going forward, from now on, with no Badger games or anything like interference, we'll have the Sunshine Polka Show on twice on Saturdays. 7 and noon.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's great news. Chuck did this and decided this. And it's great news. Look, I'm a rebel. I'm rebellious at heart. It's what I do. I've done it my whole life. I asked my parents. It drove them crazy.
Mm.
I get along with Chuck. I get along with Mike and Sage at Civic. I'm sitting there last night, and I'm realizing I have nothing to rebel against, you guys. Nothing. I enjoy my job. I like the people I work with. So I'm going to start making stuff up. And I have a problem with this. I don't know what my... Melissa, can you help me? Do I have a problem with this? Do you know what I don't know. I don't know. I'm just...
Rebel without a cause.
Yeah.
Rebel
without
apparently,
a cause. Apparently. Melissa? I thought we lost her. I knew she was. Yeah, I thought so. I didn't know what happened there. Somehow we lost her connection.
We'll get her. We'll get her going here.
And even better, my texting's not working, so I'm gonna need my phone's not working, so I'm gonna need you to contact her and find out what's going on with that. I didn't think my joke was that bad.
Yeah,
I mean it was a bad joke. Oh, don't get me wrong, it was bad.
She was so offended. I mean, she couldn't stay on.
We lost Melissa. Wow, I've done some bad jokes in my day, but I don't think I've ever had a co-host just like, no, this is it. That was too much of a reach for a joke. We all know you like Chuck and you like your job.
Yeah, that's funny.
Also, like holidays, and of course a good one coming up tomorrow and Thanksgiving, and we want to dive into that and get into some fun information about that one. Got a couple of other things we want to dive into as well with this holiday. I came across something I thought was kind of an interesting one, because we do a lot of Guinness World Records around here and cover a lot of that.
Yes, we do.
So we're going to dive into one of those right now. Melissa, you with us?
I am, and I could hear you guys the whole time.
Oh, could you? Okay.
We just couldn't hear you.
Okay. I'm glad you could hear
us. So it's good that you didn't start bad talking about me, because then we would have had real issues. James, you want to start something? Let's go.
That was my next move. If I didn't make up something with Chuck, I was going to make something up with Melissa. But then, I chose better.
Way to
Chuck's
take the high
here.
Road.
Chuck's not here. it's one of these funny things that you run into the older you get. If you are a rebellious spirit, because I asked you both about being morning people, there's an interesting study about people with these rebellious spirits that tend not to be morning people. So it's kind of where I was going with that. And I have nothing to be bent out of shape about. I love my job, love the things. And I think this, once again, for the millionth time in a row, I completely agree with our engineer, our general manager,
Chuck.
Yeah,
right.
How cool is this? We're going to have the Sunshine Polka Show on twice on Saturdays.
Man, we can listen to it when you wake up. And then in the middle of the day, when you need that, when you're cleaning your house, you need that pick-me-up, it's right there for you.
If you miss the show, that way you can catch it again. That's really cool. And, of course, keep in mind, everybody, if you miss really any of our original content here at WFHR or WIRI, you'll be able to catch the podcast. That's all on there. Our head of production over here, Seth, takes good care of that for us and does an amazing job with that. So I encourage you to not only check that out, please spread the word about that. Spread the word about our podcasts, about our shows. You can catch them anytime. Used to be, you didn't get that. You didn't catch that interview? Oh, that darn.
Yeah.
I wish you could have.
Man.
Not anymore.
No.
appreciate that. So, Melissa, I was going to dive into a Guinness World Record to kick things off. British Knitting Club's line of 45,736 pom-poms was officially named the world's longest by Guinness World Records.
Nice. Way to go.
The Brandon Yarn Bombers, part of the community. That's a great name.
That's a great
that
name.
It really is.
For Knitting Club,
Part of the community beautification group, Brandon in Bloom, assembled the 45,736 pom-poms, which were all knitted by volunteers into a continuous line that measured 1.35 miles.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a lot. Holy cow.
That's a lot of yarn.
That's a lot of yarn.
Evidence from the early summer record attempt, which was timed to coincide with the Platinum Jubilee, was submitted to Guinness World Records, and the organization said the feat is now an official world record. The previous record was set by Eden Valley Hospice, which created a line of 29,312 pom-poms back in 2016.
Now, what do they do with them now?
They actually use them to decorate during the Jubilee. Did you see that big? It was like a mesh that they put down over the front of a castle somewhere there that had pom-poms and knitted flowers all over it.
I don't know
if that's what they'll do with these.
But that's a good idea.
It seems.
That's I didn't know anything about the Jubilee. So, that's really cool, though. Wow.
One thing for sure, that any little kid that wears them, they're gonna lose the string's going to get, messed up. They're going to get one end on the other.
Yeah, like those mittens we used to have when we were kids?
Yes.
With the string that went up the back?
Was there a worse thing to wear as a kid than those mittens that had the string that attached?
Okay, maybe as a kid, but as an adult, I'm kind of thinking about bringing it back.
Are you?
Because they're lumpy in my pockets, and I think they would just be handy to, take off.
And if you're like me, I lose them all the time. I lose gloves all the time.
Yeah, no.
See, you wouldn't have that problem.
That's true.
As a kid, nothing drove me crazier than that string. I used to drive my mom insane because I would cut it. And she did not like that.
No.
I did that with apparently a nice pair of gloves once. I got in a lot of trouble for that. But as an adult, and when you have kids, mm-hmm. you are so thankful for that string. Because, yes, you buy the mittens. You put them on your kids in the store. You get home. Where'd your mitten go?
Yeah.
Where? All we did was drive.
Why do you only have one?
I put you right in the car. I put you right in there.
And they were on your hands.
They were on. I looked. I know they were. You could duct tape them on, and somehow one will lose. So that string is
important. And you only lose one. And the one you lose is always the same hand, so you have a whole bunch of rights yes. or a whole bunch of lefts.
Yep. Like,
yeah. I can't find
any. Then you have to wear it backwards, which is just awkward.
Yeah. I was going to say honorable mention sweatpants. Snow pants.
Snow pants.
Oh.
Or the snow suit, maybe.
The snowpants.
Snow pants weren't too bad because you could just unbuckle the top if you had to do your thing. But the snow pants, I mean, that
snow.
Was.
Snow suit, man. You were stuck.
Did you go before? Okay, yes. All right.
No, I'm serious. Did you go?
Mom. No. I don't care. I don't care if you have to, Jimmy. I don't. No, we'll take a break here. We will come back into our National Day of Calendar and plenty more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this November 23rd, 2022. It is Drinksgiving. Man.
Do we need more excuses to drink?
Any excuse. Heading home on the evening before Thanksgiving is an American tradition, and in preparation for spending the weekend with Aunt Martha and pumpkin pie. The night before is often spent at a bar, catching up with old friends who are also back from out of town. In some cities, Drinksgiving is more popular day for drinking than St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Eve.
Well, here's a rationale behind it.
All right.
So sometimes when you're gathering together with family, that is a bad time to have a little bit too much alcohol because sometimes conversations go the wrong way. For some, this may be a good time to have a couple drinks, and then you could abstain on Thanksgiving so that the conversation goes well.
Interesting theory.
Not a bad one at all. I think that's a good theory. I wouldn't think of it today. Actually, I would think of it tomorrow or Friday or this weekend. I will say that when I was going to the bars on a consistent basis, so basically when I was 20, 21, or 21,
right.
I mean.
Right.
21. that's when you saw people from high school. That's
true.
When you caught up with all your friends. Everybody came back to town, and you know you saw your friends from school that you don't see all the time, especially in those early days when people are off at college and everything.
Right.
So that's what I was thinking they were going with. I didn't think they were going with that part of it. I can't think of anything worse than going out to drink on tonight. And then tomorrow, dealing with a hangover and dealing with the whole aunt that you don't want to see whatever and all
Uncle
that.
Artie, you know,
like
yeah.
that doesn't like I that part. No, I have no interest in that part. While Thanksgiving has been around since 1621 and it had been celebrated on a Thursday in November since the 1800s, the tradition of Drinksgiving is much newer.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Thanks
surprise,
for clarifying
surprise.
About that.
Yes, what a big deal.
It's also National Taiwan-on Day.
Wait a minute.
Hang on a second here. Have you ever been worried about prepping for Thanksgiving? Well, there's a day just for that. National Taiwan-on Day is all about putting an apron on and getting your pre-prep going for a big cooking fiasco. That is not the terminology.
Fiasco?
Yes, that's what they said. Yeah. Wow.
Really trying to find some hip
that's
ways
encouraging.
To put the,
yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Not only is it about just cooking for the big day, but it is also about every day where women and men put on aprons and being able to give to family and friends or anyone the food that you prepared.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a good day.
I like an excuse to put on an apron, so I might just have to do that.
There you go.
Not that I'm cooking today, because we're gonna have a sushi givings. Tonight?
Sushi giving.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
I think we're meeting up with some friends in Wausau, hopefully, to have sushi.
As the guy who has mustacholi every Thanksgiving, I cannot pick
on that
at all. That actually probably sounds more normal than me eating pasta every Thanksgiving. That should be fun. Let us know how that goes, Mel.
I heard someone talk about Soupsgiving, that their family does soup on Thanksgiving, which is kind of cool. Yeah,
that is interesting.
Interesting. Maybe that's where that came from yesterday, James. Where soup is the most common.
Yes.
Oh, maybe that is it. Wow.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Good catch, Mel. Good catch. National Cashew Day.
I love me some cashews.
Really?
Do you?
Okay. Wow. Yeah. All right. Cashews are wonderful. And you can even make a vegan cheese out of cashews. Legit cheese. Yeah.
I will give cashews the versatility because they are very versatile. You can do many, many things with them. But on my scale of tree nuts, they're pretty low on the list. I'm not a big fan.
What would you prefer?
Mm. Oh, like walnuts, almonds, pecans, those kinds of things. Those are nuts I like better. Yeah.
Sorry, James. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. That's okay. It's also National Eat a Cranberry Day.
Just one.
You had to beat me, Ryan.
That was good. Oh, that was good. I wish you were both in the studio for that.
Yeah, we would have come to blows.
Yep.
You got to catch me first.
I am sure I'm faster than you.
While this is a national holiday, here in Wisconsin, this is every day.
It's true. Very true.
Cranberries are great. And good luck eating just one.
Yeah,
good
come luck. On now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're eating one straight up, you might only eat one.
You know, that's true. I thought of something the other day when we were talking. I think we were talking about cranberry sauce, Beth, Melissa, and I. And it got me thinking, and then we got into another topic, and I didn't want to pull away from the conversation. I think cranberries were the first food that I took a chance and tried and liked.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
We move out here, and I'm, you know, Mr. Picky Eater and all that and everything, and my nan and papa, because I wasn't a guest at their home. I'm their nephew and everything. Mm-hmm. Their grandkid, I mean.
Yep.
But I felt like that. I felt like a guest. So I ate whatever they put in front of me for the most part, even though I didn't eat a lot. And I started getting a little more adventurous. And it took a long time to get to where I am now. But we go on a field trip to, I think, Ocean Spray. And they gave us a handful of cranberries to try or whatever, and everybody was eating them. And I already stood out like a sore thumb. I mean, fitting in was not something that was ever going to happen for me. So I just, I saw the other kids the way they were eating them, and I just ate them like that. And I remember in my head, like, bracing my taste buds for evil or something evil. I didn't like. And this beautiful juice pops in my mind. I'm like, ooh, what's this? What is this? Yeah. Like, ooh. I'm pretty sure it was at least the first one I remember where I tried something new and I enjoyed it.
Nice.
Up until that point, pretty much everything I ever tried, I'm like, yeah, I was right. This is horrible.
He actually ate a cranberry.
Yeah.
Just straight up. Nothing else on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just cranberries.
Have you ever tried rhubarb like that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Woo.
Okay. Well, because they're similar in flavor profile in my mind as far as tartness. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. They're good. Yeah.
Interesting. I find that fascinating, James. There's I prefer them covered in chocolate.
They are good like that.
They're excellent like that.
Ruby reds, places like that around here, man. Yeah,
those are addictive, though, man.
They really are.
Yeah. But even this, not the craisins covered in chocolates, but straight up cranberry covered in chocolate.
Craisins aren't bad, but I'm with you. I just like cranberries. Yeah. And it is National Jukebox Day. I like this one.
Someday I will have myself a jukebox.
You too?
Hey. Yeah.
Speaking of, sorry. I'm gonna derail the conversation for just a second. Uh-huh. Because Seth, there's a diner for sale up north.
Sorry,
you talked about jukeboxes and you really want you talked about wanting that as a decor.
Absolutely.
Something as a living room. Like, well, there's a whole one for sale up north.
Wow.
Delta Diner.
You just got to buy a restaurant.
Yep. That's all you got to do. And then you have one.
Yeah.
Boy, is that a two for one?
But you'd also probably get a jukebox.
That's true.
I like the Homer Simpson idea of being a shrewd businessman. And, hey, Marge, I you know how badly I wanted a jukebox? Well, I bought one. I got a twofer. I got a restaurant.
And a diner, too.
And a diner.
Jukeboxes have always been an American pastime. When you think of jukeboxes, most people think of the 1950s when the greasers and cheerleaders would gather around and play their favorite songs in a diner. However, if you think jukeboxes have died, they haven't. Since then, they modernized and changed significantly to the touch of convenience, where smartphones have dominated the music industry. If you think all there is left of public music is dance clubs and DJs, well, think again. Jukeboxes are still around and grooving with life, so let's go explore the pastime of jukeboxes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The term jukebox was coined from the term juke houses or juke joints, which were established in the early 1900s, where people gathered to drink and listen to music. The first jukebox was invented in 1889 when Louis Glass and William S. Arnold created the first coin-operated player.
I want to go to a juke joint.
Oh, I've
always... That just sounds like a fun place. Mm.
When I was a kid, reading about jazz and some of my favorite jazz artists' influences and everything, you can't not come across juke joint. Like, it's all over, especially when you read about Southern jazz artists. And as a little kid, all I wanted to do, I didn't care about turning 21 to go to the bar. I wanted to turn 21 so I could go to a juke joint and hear some cool jazz and stuff and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my mom and dad this, and I could still hear their laughter. I think they're still laughing at me.
They How old are you? What are you? What is this, the 1930s?
Yeah. I can't remember if my if it was a dream since then or not, but like Seth, like a lot of people out there, I think, or you know, a good Morsha, I've always wanted to have a personal jukebox.
Yeah.
It's just a cool idea.
I've actually looked up videos about how to build your own jukebox,
really?
Which is actually, it's not as difficult as you'd think, yeah. So maybe someday.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That's a project I would love to go. That is something that would be cool to build.
I know a couple people who have jukeboxes in their homes.
Nice.
And they're kind of fun. With age, they've become a little touchy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
If it's the old mechanical ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that if you buy a jukebox, like if you buy a restored one or an older one, you should also like get the information of the guy who can fix it, a mechanic who can fix it.
Exactly, right. Yep.
That's important information.
Put it next to my pinball machine and I'll be set.
There you go.
But jukeboxes have come a long way. Have you guys heard the recent thing that is being done to people? Like if some guy's wife goes out to the bar with her friends, on his phone he can play songs on the jukebox at the bar she's at.
Wow.
And just play like the same song that she hates over and over.
Oh,
and
that's
over.
Funny.
I have not heard of that. No.
Yeah.
That's pretty
it's
cool.
A thing. Cool? I don't know if it's cool, but it's funny.
It's kind of the technology is cool.
Yeah,
It's cool to me that they have that something that is that old and kind of coin operated has been updated.
Mm-hmm.
We so often kind of leave that stuff by the wayside and you know, just move on evolution-wise and technology and all that. I think we should do that with more things, you know, modernize them and keep them around.
I think so, too.
And while we're at it, can we please figure out a better jack system? I'm serious. I haven't let this go. I know I was on my soapbox about this last week. I'm not going to let it go. How do we not have some kind of more advanced way to change our tire? That doesn't make any sense.
I see.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know which jack you were talking about.
Car jack. Yeah,
car jack. Car jacking. Got it.
Fibonacci Day. There are sequences that appear in nature time and time again, ones that seem to define the very basis of the reality of the world and coordinate how everything comes together. One of these numbers is the Fibonacci sequence, and it can be found in the most surprising of places. Fibonacci Day commemorates the sequences and the man who brought it to the attention of humans way back in 1202. It's time for Fibonacci Day, and we get to talk about the great Leonardo of Pisa, known today as Fibonacci. He does not seem to have been the first to think of this sequence, but he was the first to bring it to the European world and bring awareness to its importance in the in furthering of science.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the sequence is common knowledge or not anymore, but it is a fascinating thing to look into, to
it
learn
is.
About,
yes.
to see the patterns of it in life and in nature.
I'm trying to remember how it goes. I'm surprised they didn't at least put the start of it up there, because it's like one.
Oh, it's, here it is. 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 43, 34.
Yep. And it goes on from there, yeah. Which is really cool. And that appears, like they said, that appears in nature in so many different forms. It's just really remarkable.
I think, oh, go ahead, Melissa.
It says each additional number is always the last two numbers of the sequence added together.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at things that connect us all, that show how connected we all are and all that, like this is one of the first things I think of. And it's just fascinating to me. It's just one of the more interesting kind of, like, you know, we see how we're all connected. Like, I don't know how you can, if you are on the fence or unsure of this, to me, that this is one of those things that just speaks to, okay, yeah, we are definitely all connected. There's a great quote from another Leonardo da Vinci. Principles for the development of a complete mind. Study the science of art. Study the art of science. Develop your senses, especially learn how to see. Realize that everything is connected to everything else.
Aha. Mm. See?
One of my favorite quotes, and it's it was science-wise and all that is very cool and everything, but I think just, you know, in today's day and age, one thing that you can definitely pull from this is the connection and how we are so more connected than we realize.
Exactly. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's Italian.
Nothing
not at all. No.
Not at all. Is he Italian? I didn't even notice. Wow. Huh. He does have a vowel at the end of his name.
Yeah.
I had not noticed. I'm so
just
bad.
Just the fact that it's found over and over in nature is fascinating to me.
I think
that is so cool.
It shows to me when I was young and I first remember reading about this and hearing about it and everything. My grandfather actually got me into this. As a city kid, it showed me a lot about nature that I didn't know, but also showed me nature's design. I think as a kid or a city kid at least, if you don't know better, you think that nature's kind of chaos. That it's just kind of like, all right, a tree just, you know, seed lands, tree grows. And there is certainly some chaos in nature, but for the majority of it is very well thought out, very well planned.
Right.
Especially what we're learning more and more about with trees and the connection that trees have underground and this hive mind kind of thing that they share, the connection that they communicate, all that. It's fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
National Espresso Day. Get your shot of concentrated coffee, try blends from different regions, or treat yourself to an espresso machine for an easy caffeine fix all year round. rich and powerful espresso is a fantastic boost to the day and a go-to for coffee drinkers who are looking for a way to get through these long, hard days. Shot of espresso is a refinement of coffee distilled down to its most potent elements and delivered in a special cups that have should have a warning label that reads high vibration and caffeine jitters ahead. So I think I was looking for the difference between espresso and coffee. I think we kind of hit it.
It's how it's made, because there's actually not a ton of difference between the beans.
Right. No, there's not.
Enough.
There is not, and it's actually, here's a secret, having been a barista many, many years ago. It's not, a cup of espresso has about the same amount as a normal cup of coffee, you know, a large 8-ounce cup of coffee. It's not really how concentrated it is. It's how long you let the water sit with the bean, with the grounds.
Oh.
Then it gets more, the more caffeine it has is the longer it's sitting with the grounds.
Oh.
That's actually how you get more caffeine.
So like a French press is going to give you more caffeine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
In Turin, Italy, in 1884, an incredible new innovation was developed that would change the way we work. Work would be done for the rest of time and history. No more would tired laborers have to rely on pure willpower to get them through the day or learn on the watered-down attempt at caffeinated coffee. That was normal coffee and tea. Instead, thanks to the innovation methods of Angelo Morandino, coffee had seen a new age of enlightenment, as his new machine found a way to separately control the passing of steam and water through the coffee.
Huh. Man. What's with this National Italy Day here?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Italy brought us a lot of things. Espresso, pasta, James. I mean, you know, it's a good day.
Yes, yes.
I'm sucking up. I'm hoping to get a really nice Christmas present.
Yeah.
it's coming. It's definitely coming. We will take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back. And how many of us want to move Thanksgiving? That's what we're going to talk about when we get back. After Mel's news, be sure to catch that, everybody. We'll be back with more here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. I am in black, so I mean.
He's back and in black.
Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you guys are having a great one out there. Thank you so much for joining us, all of you. Best listeners in radio. Hope you're having a great one out there. Let's dive into an interesting conversation. Would Thanksgiving be better if it was on a Friday? There aren't any plans in works to actually do it, but around 1 in 4 Americans say yes in a new survey.
Wow.
27% think Thanksgiving on a Friday would be better. We're guessing most of those people have to work on Friday, so grouping it with Saturday and Sunday would give them a 3-day weekend instead of a 1 day off midweek.
Exactly. Right.
The same question was asked back in 1985, and just 16% of people said yes, so it's a more popular idea than it used to be. And here we got some other Thanksgiving fun thing, question answers kind of stuff we'll get into, but I want to stay on this for a second.
Okay.
I haven't really thought about this one that much.
Me neither.
I've kind of just gone with things. Now, when I was younger, I remember, you know, constantly asking teachers and stuff like, well, you know, why this is and everything and why we got to come back on Friday or that kind of thing. But I don't know if it ever really, as an adult, ever really set into like, hey, we should move this or anything. I don't know what this says about this. I don't know if it's good or bad. But my whole life, I've heard way more people say that we should move Super Bowl Sunday than move the Thanksgiving. And I don't know what that says about us. I don't know what that, you know, if there's anything to, you know, if there's anything to dissect there or not. But that's the thing. That's the day that I've heard as far as, you know, a day we should move.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, I'm kind of curious now because I don't think I've ever heard that. Where do people want to move the Super Bowl?
Monday. They wanted it on the Saturday or Monday.
Oh, make an official holiday. I see what they mean. And gotcha.
Have football on Saturday or have it on Monday.
Gotcha.
Something
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay.
Having Monday being mandatory day off, that kind of thing. You know? But that, I mean, I've heard that more than I've heard anybody moving Thanksgiving. Have you ever heard of this, Melissa?
Well, no, actually, I don't think I have, but it does make sense because there are a lot of people that have to go back to work on Friday and then, or they have to take off work and try to get coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like, you know, especially if you like, you know, you usually do the news on Friday, but you get, I'm just kidding. I offered.
You offered. But go ahead, make me feel bad about it.
I just want you to be thankful, that's all.
Well, your pie was in the mail, but I'm going to chase him down and get it back.
Here are a few more fun Thanksgiving then and now questions. And I got to say, I'm a little surprised. I thought that one would have more meat on the bone, that question. But it really doesn't. It doesn't seem to. And I just even, you know, doing a little homework on this last night and everything and seeing nationally or around, you know, another like different, but like down south, out east, out west, you know, if it varies. And everybody's just kind of like, eh. Like, all right, I'm fine. We'll move
on. To be fair, it's been a tradition on a Thursday since 1865.
Exactly.
Right. And I mean, I know that we modernize things and everything is about making things more convenient and better and safer and all that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, that phrase still works for me.
Yeah.
I actually liked, I'm a fan of traditions, not all of them and not necessarily to the letter of the law kind of thing.
Right.
But I do think that it's kind of cool that we just do this. We, you know, we all agree on this and just keep doing it on Thursdays.
It's fine.
I think it is. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember a time in my life where I've ever had the Friday after Thanksgiving off. Every job I've ever worked, I've always done it.
You've always come in, yeah.
I could easily complain about this one, but I don't really, I don't
it's
know.
Not a big,
not really a big deal.
This might be one of those surveys that you could ask someone where I don't know is a legitimate. Just
yes,
to say, you know.
This would be the first one for me that I'd be cool with that. And of course, no, none of that. Nobody. Everybody's decisive on this one. Here's some more Thanksgiving then and now questions. Would you skip Thanksgiving with your family for $1,000? 44% of people would take the cash compared to just 19% when the same question was asked in 1991.
Wow.
With inflation, $1,000 back then would be like $2,200 today.
Okay.
So our priorities haven't really changed a lot there. Do you mainly go to family events like Thanksgiving out of obligation or because you want to? 71% said they want to, and 29% said they feel obligated. Back in 1991, 84% said they wanted to be there.
Interesting. That's gone down a little
bit. Only 41%?
Yeah.
Would you rather spend Thanksgiving at home or be invited to the White House for dinner?
To the White House?
Somehow, that one hasn't changed at all. Only 16% chose the White House in 1991, and 16% today said the same.
I'm going to the White House. I don't know. I would love to just see, because I know they have amazing chefs and everything that work at the White House. Just, I think the food would be amazing. I would love to do that.
I love my family, and I actually don't mind Thanksgiving in part. Mm-hmm. And my whole reason for not minding Thanksgiving is that I get to see people I don't always get to see. Mm-hmm. That's always been the case for me. I honestly get the food, pasta and all that. I can have that anytime.
Exactly.
Pumpkin pie, I eat that all year round. I see family and friends that I don't normally get to see. I love my family. Family and friends. 100% I'm going to the White House. 100%. And it's exactly what Seth said. I know that I think for some people, immediately you think of, well, did the guy I vote for, is he in office and that kind of thing?
Don't care.
You're overthinking it.
It's the White House.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to vote for this person. You don't even got to talk to the president. Just get some of that good food.
You're probably not going to get to.
No. It's a very good point, Melissa. I'm imagining this like I'm sitting down right next to President Biden. Like, what's up, bro? Hey, Joe. Hey. Yeah. I mean, President. Sorry. Can you pass the stuffing? Could you? Yeah. Hey, way to hog the man. You're hogging the gravy, Joe.
Similar to that, I got to go to the governor's mansion when I was like, oh gosh, how old was I? Probably 8 or 9. And I think it was for Christmas, around Christmas time though, because a lady that my mom and I worked for. So maybe I was a little older than that because I was cleaning at the time. So I had to have been like 11 or 12.
Okay.
But we got to go and I got to see all of the Christmas trees because they have a different Christmas tree in every room.
Wow.
And they have like Christmas cookies and marzipan and all these cool desserts that you got to sample in each room.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
That is cool.
And very impressive for, a little girl from a very small town.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
Absolutely.
So the thought of getting to go to the White House for Thanksgiving would, I think it would be, awesome to see.
Yes.
I come from the city of big shoulders and architecture. Some of the greatest architecture there is in the world is in Chicago. And I enjoy big buildings and everything. I never got to go to Springfield and see the Capitol in Illinois. Mm-hmm. But when I first moved up here, my buddy Craig moves to Madison. I spent a lot of time in Madison. And Craig told me, we're trying to find something to do. Hey, the Capitol's open. You can go check it out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how silly I sound. I think that is one of the coolest buildings I've ever been in.
Yes.
I like the Capitol. I like going in there. I think it's a cool building. Still, to this day, like if I have time to kill in Madison or something and I'm downtown there, I'll go check out the Capitol. We did get kicked out, Craig and I. That's a whole other conversation. But I really like buildings like that. In architecture, just in general, I find to be really cool. So I would be walking around with my piece of pumpkin pie, checking out the White House, like architecture, and just like all that stuff and everything.
Same.
I can imagine that there are some people that push back on that. Well, I don't want to have dinner with somebody I didn't vote for or something like that. These are the same people that I'm not taking the day off of work on Martin Luther King Day. Like I refuse to. Like how much do you have to dislike something? Like really, where are your priorities? Like what is this hill that you're willing to die on? That you're willing to turn down some of the best like maybe food that could be made.
I know
the White House and these chefs that they got to have over there. It ain't like you got to talk to the guy or vote for the guy again or anything or vote at all for them. You just got to eat some food.
If you want to feel bad, I mean, a lot of these people, especially the chefs and a lot of the serving staff, they've been there forever.
That's a life. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they've been through many presidents. They're still there. Right. I mean, what's the deal? Come on.
That's a good point.
Well, and this is hypothetical. If you actually offered, here's your plane tickets. This is the hotel you're staying in. This is your agenda for the day. Like, who would actually turn that down?
That's a good
opportunity to just see Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I highly doubt anyone would turn that down.
Even better, stay in the Lincoln bedroom.
Yeah.
In the White House. Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that would be cool.
And finally, are you more thankful this year than you've been in the past few years?
Yes.
That one's right on. That one stayed pretty steady too. 42% said yes, 43% said about the same, and 16% they said they feel less thankful. Mm-hmm. With the same question was asked way back in 1974, 39% said they were thankful, 46% said about the same, and 15% were less thankful.
Yeah, has not changed a lot. Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I give my family credit for this one. I know this is a popular one. We're one of those families that always went around the table and everybody mm-hmm. said something they were thankful for.
Yeah, us too.
And you could not phone that in. I can remember my cousins and I, like, you know, every once in a while, through, you know, I'm thankful for gum or, you know, something like that. And, you know, just trying to be, you know, brats or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And no, they would just stay there. They'd just stay on you until you came up with something.
Something good.
You want your Thanksgiving meal? You got to come up with something better.
Yep. And to me, I don't know. I've always been able to find things to be thankful for, even mm-hmm. in the worst of moments. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it stems from that. And it may be in a silly way, but it does.
I think that's true.
Take a break. Come back. Get into some more problems and fun and weirdness here.
Definitely weirdness.
I'm good.
On Mornings on WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 8:54 on the clock. And we're going to talk a little bit about my people, picky eaters.
people, shout out.
If you're getting ready to break out your seasonal red dinnerware for holiday guests, you should know that a new study has found that picky eaters are less likely to try foods served in anything red.
Huh?
What?
It's unclear why, although the researchers suggested that it could be because people have negative expectations when seeing the color red, or maybe it just seems too bold for people who are already picky. Unfortunately, they only tested red, blue, and white dishes and found that white bowls are the most desirable and boring.
Because that's why they're desirable. I think it's because they're boring. Yeah.
Well, but they show off the food the best.
True.
They do. Yeah,
yes, they do.
Yeah. I think this survey comes out because they're getting ahead of themselves with Christmas around the corner.
Yes, they are.
And that's what I think of. When I think of red bowls and all that stuff, that's the first thing I think of is
Christmas.
That's
like the only season that does that kind of thing. Otherwise, who has red dishes like as their regular thing? Not a lot of people.
I guess on Valentine's Day.
Unless you have Fiesta wear.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's very colorful. Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's true. Mm.
But for the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
I really do love these kind of studies in a sense because I like things that, you know, taking different angles on things, maybe not the most common, thought that comes with something. Mm-hmm. I cannot think, as one of the most picky eaters of all time, I can't think of one time in my life that a bowl, but this would be subconscious, right? It wouldn't be something that I would be aware of. Like,
no, you wouldn't.
Oh, those right. chips look really good. Oh, they're in a Red Bull. Like, you know, I don't, it doesn't seem like something you would be
that's
conscious
a no-go.
Of.
Yeah, no. I think you're absolutely right. That's that's part of it.
It would be funnier if it was a more conscious effort thing or a conscious thing. Yeah. I'm sorry, I would refuse to eat anything out of a red bowl.
I blame stop signs.
How poor of you! Everything in these red bowls over here. Yeah, I blame stop signs.
It's a negative red. I mean, it's always stop, right? Red has always been, stop doing that.
Yeah. Red has gotten a bad rap for a long time.
Yes.
We kind of use it, pick and choose to use it on things in places where we, you know, it's more colorful or more, it's celebrated, you know, Christmas, Valentine's Day, certain holidays. And then the rest of the time, it's all, red is for the bad guy. Red is for, there was actually a great study we did on this in college about in film. Especially in early film going up until about 1974, 77, mm-hmm. I want to say, where, like, you look at Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. Judas is the only character, I believe, dressed in red.
Oh, really?
Things like that.
Yeah.
And they go back and they ask these directors and these people, hey, what did you thinking here and stuff? And only, like, one or two incidences were they like, yeah, they should definitely wear red. It was mostly just kind of, like, assumed they should be dressed in red.
Isn't that interesting?
Even though it's not like we have any historical, you know, photos or anything like that of how, you know, who was out, the gear that everybody had on.
The traditional Satan traditionally is all red, right?
Always dressed in red.
It's always dressed in red. So, yeah, there might be something to that.
imagine if you're that entity, and it turns out you're polka dots, and you're like the whole time, like, I'm not red. That's offensive. I'm not even red. Or he's pink. You know, he's like a skew off of red or something like that.
I would
that.
Love a pink Satan. That'd be awesome.
I think that's kind of actually that's pretty fitting. Actually, I think that's pretty funny. It also takes a lot of the intimidation out of there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna burn you.
Oh, sure you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't you the cutest thing? And your horns. You're a funny guy. Stop it. I'm mean and intimidating. Oh, just go in the corner already. I can't. I'm tired of this job. I got nowhere to go after that.
Fed up Satan sketch, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
I really can't. Like, there are silly studies, and then there are these. I really do. I wonder if there's anything to really pull from this other than the fact that it's just kind of like a waste of time, honestly.
Hey, it killed a few minutes on our show.
There we go. If you'd like to know more, sciencedirect.com is where you can go. And did we lose Mel again?
Oh, I think we did.
Melissa? Darn it.
Yeah, I think Melissa's going to have to re-up again, I think, on her side. Yeah. She can still hear us. I think she can hear us. But,
well,
yeah.
It does give us a chance to talk a little sports.
Yeah.
She's going to give me a hard time for that one.
I think James just keeps making me go away.
Yeah, no, I would never do that. Glad to have you back, Mel.
I had important things to say, and now they're all gone.
I'm sorry, Melissa. I did want to touch on a little bit of our schedule for today, because we have some fun stuff. We have, of course, the Cranberry Classic going. That's tomorrow. We have today going on Wisconsin men's basketball in the Battle for Atlantis tournament. That game should be around
12:30, I think.
Yeah. Right? We've got to double check on that to see if Wisconsin won or not. I can tell you for sure that a little later today on WFHR at 6:05, we will have the Jim Leonard Show. Mm-hmm. Join us for that. Coach Leonard joins these airwaves every Wednesday. Thursday at 6:05. So that'll be tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah.
Be sure to join us for those tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'll check on that Wisconsin game. I wanted to do that anyway. And we'll come back and get our update from our Weather Center people, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, and of course our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from Quality Plus Printing, all coming up in the 8 o'clock hour right here at WFHR.